You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I suspect that when we all got out of bed this morning and looked out the window, there were any number of different reactions occurring. The children obviously were delighted. It looked just like Christmas. Even adults who are more poets and artists probably said, well, isn't it beautiful out there? I even heard a few people say that coming into church this morning. Then there were the rest of us who had to shovel and drive and cuss and swear as we got our way through all of this stuff, and we took a slightly different view of the March 1st blizzard. It all depends on how you look at it. In art and in actually all of life, we call this having a certain perspective on what you see. I used to, many years ago, teach photography to high school students. And one of the most difficult things to get them to absorb into their brains was that the perspective of a picture makes a great deal of difference. Namely, whether you shoot it straight on, maybe from top looking down, maybe from the ground level looking up, or whether you have a wide angle or a narrow focus, all of these things change the perspective of a photograph and change the message that it delivers. And so it was a matter of getting my students to see that there are all kinds of angles for the very same image, and no two photographers were going to do it exactly the same. Some preferred to go in close for an intimate look at things. Others preferred to stand back and get the whole panorama. There was nothing to say that one was better than the other, but it brought out to them that in so many areas of life, we all have our own perspectives, our ways of looking at the very same realities and drawing different conclusions. It teaches us, if nothing else, to reserve judgment when other people have perspectives other than those we have. On the second Sunday of Lent, the scriptures give us a kind of a stern reminder, if you want to put it that way, that God's perspective on things is not necessarily ours. God, obviously, as the author of all creation and the end point of all creation, has a much bigger, wider view than most of us. And that, by the way, is the only sensible answer to the problem of evil. When people come up to me, as often happens in hospitals and places where there's a disaster or a painful thing has occurred, people say, how can God, who is so good, allow something bad like this to happen? And sometimes the only answer is, take the long view. God sees more than you and I can see. And often, and we've all experienced this, as life unfolds, we found out that maybe God's way was a little bit wiser than our own from the very beginning. That's how you should understand this story in the Old Testament about Abraham being asked to sacrifice his son Isaac. Now, this just didn't click in Abraham's mind. God had already promised him that he would be the channel of salvation down through the generations. He would be the father of the people who were to be God's people, and he only had one son, and now God is asking him to sacrifice this son. What gives here? And as this reading concludes, God was simply putting Abraham to the test to see if his faith was strong enough. And indeed, God did spare Abraham's son Isaac. But as we heard in the second reading, when it came to God's own son, Jesus of Nazareth, as St. Paul said, God did not spare even his only son. It was just a way of teaching Abraham, and through him, all of us, that God has a bigger picture than we have ourselves. In the gospel that we read in a dramatized version here just a few moments ago, the story of the transfiguration of Jesus, when he took three of his chosen disciples up on a mountain and his appearance was changed. In a nutshell, they were getting ready to go through some tough times. He was going to take them to Jerusalem, where they were going to see him mocked and scourged and handed over to his enemies and finally put to death on the cross. And Jesus knew that they needed a glimpse of glory, a different perspective, if you want to put it that way, if they were going to get through the low points that were going to happen so soon. So Jesus, very simply, gave them a glimpse of his resurrection for just a few moments. And he says, keep this in the back of your mind, this other perspective. Don't talk about it to anybody until it all comes true and he has been raised from the dead. That's the idea of the transfiguration of Jesus. It was a way of giving them a new perspective so that they could get through the bad things that they were about to experience. And so that's the message for us as we are still in the first part of Lent. I don't know about you, but I'm not too big on doing penance and extra prayers and fasting and all those kinds of things. And sometimes about this point in Lent, we need to get a little foretaste of Easter, that it's all in God's perspective, in the big plan, in the big picture, and it's for our own good. None of us enjoys self-discipline and mortification and penance all that much. If you do, there's probably something wrong with you. And so we need to get a little shot in the arm here in the early part of Lent and say, yes, it is indeed worthwhile. It's indeed worth digging in and going this way of the cross with Jesus so that we can experience his glory. And so it beckons us to, as Christians and followers of Christ, to have a wide perspective, a big view of things. It's even important in our natural lives. We all know from our human dealings with people, whether they're people in positions of power or just neighbors that get on our nerves, people with narrow perspectives, people who can't see the forest for the trees, as the old saying goes, they have such a limited view. They judge and look at all reality from their own limited experience, from their prejudices and their biases, and then they try to inflict that on everybody else. The real tragedy is when such people of limited perspective get into power. I don't care whether it's the church or the government or whatever, then it starts to bother everybody else too. We need people at all levels who have the ability to look at all sides of issues. Maybe then we wouldn't fight and argue so much, and if we just tolerated other perspectives other than our own. And certainly during our own conversion, during the season of Lent, I think that's really what conversion is all about. We are invited to say, well, up until this point, I've been through Lent 60, 70, 80 times in my life already. It's not the same old thing. Each and every year, we should get a new perspective on God's plan and how we fit into it. We should see ourselves as changing and capable of change, and we should see ourselves as members of God's beloved community. So Lent really is about acquiring a new way of seeing, getting a different perspective on things some of the same old things we've been practicing and hearing age after age and year after year throughout our lives. The church likes to use the word behold in liturgy a lot. At the communion time, we say, behold the Lamb of God. Look at this piece of bread, this cup of wine, and see it from a new perspective. See it as the body and blood of Christ. On Good Friday, the church is going to hold up the cross for our veneration and say, behold the wood of the cross. Look at this not as a symbol of defeat and execution, but as a symbol of life and the pathway to glory. So that's our prayer today, that we get serious now. We're a week and a half into the season of Lent, that we begin to get into the discipline and the control that it needs, and to understand that God wants us to see things in a fresh new way, so that come Easter, it's not just the same old Easter, it's a brand new experience. May God bless us in this way, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.